In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole, filled with the ends of worms and an oozy smell, nor yet a dry, bare, sandy hole with nothing in it to sit down on or to eat. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. Now, the owner and resident of this hole was one Bilbo Baggins. Bilbo came from the respectable Baggins family. Respectable not only because most of them were rich, but also because they never had any adventures or did anything unexpected. You could tell what a Baggins would say on any question without the bother of asking him. Now, hobbits have a fairly comfortable notion of the good life. Their pipe and tobacco, several breakfasts, not to mention two dinners daily if they can get it, cakes and mead, meadows and gardens, and of course the avoidance of anything that might lead to adventures. Now, one morning as Bilbo stood outside his hole smoking his pipe, along came Gandalf. Tales and adventures sprouted up all over the place wherever he went in the most extraordinary fashion. And Gandalf had shown up in these parts looking for someone to share an adventure, and he was having a difficult time finding anyone. Well, Bilbo replied, "I should think so in these parts. We are plain, quiet folk and have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Make you late for dinner." Well, those familiar with this tale know that Bilbo does end up on quite an adventure, but only because of Gandalf's perfect execution of his choosing of Bilbo. There's a great deal of expectation to get past and overcome. At every turn, it was as if the adventure came looking for him. Before Bilbo knew it, he was sprinting off to meet his party at the Green Dragon Inn and then riding out. And along the way, he comes to think at times that maybe adventures aren't quite so bad after all, and probably many more times when he wishes he was back in his comfortable home. I suppose we are not all that different from hobbits. We tend to like our comfortable life, abundant in its offerings to us, and we don't seem to take well to adventures. Adventures are rather risky endeavors. We leave behind everything that is comfortable, opening ourselves to things outside of our realms of experience, and sometimes they make us late for dinner. We might have to stand out and even against, at times, what everyone else thinks we should do. While it seems that there are plenty of folks in this reality television age who seek to stand out, the reality of it is that it's a whole lot more of the same. We seek an abundant life in acquiring things to stock around us. Standing out is just a means of finding a way to gain the abundant life. That's what we all seem to be after. And standing out against this way of life, truly standing against it, is at best looked down upon and oftentimes downright discouraged, disparaged. Our society is not all that different from hobbits, who discourage adventures mainly because they disrupt the flow of things. They hush up tales of the few who leave to go off on adventures so as to sequester them and keep others from learning what might be possible. So when Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly," well, society is often just glad to latch on to the notion of the abundant life, but they're going to hush up the rest. While we expect the world to give us alternate visions of the abundant life, we also find that some preachers hold up the abundant life as nothing different from what the world says it is. Abundant life in this message means material wealth, plain and simple. And we buy into it. We all do. I do. We seek fulfillment and purpose from things so we fit into the world around us. None of us really want to be all that different. We don't want the adventure. But that vision of the abundant life is an illusion. It's a charade. It's a lie. No matter how much we might try to fill our lives with material goods or even grand experiences like base jumping off of the New River Gorge Bridge, we are little more than sheep plodding along, falling far short of the life that Jesus calls us to. And every time we choose to follow the world's vision of the abundant life, seeking that purpose and fulfillment and ultimately failing, a little bit of us dies. Because when you're sheep and you follow other voices, it's dangerous. Those voices are the voices of thieves who come only to kill, to destroy. But Jesus tells us, very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, I will admit, every time I've read this passage, I have almost always heard it and thought about the sheep being outside the fold and Jesus bringing them in, calling them into the protection of the fold, away from the dangers of the world. But everything in this passage actually points in the opposite direction. The shepherd enters the gate to call to his sheep. The thief and the bandit enter the fold by another way. The shepherd calls his sheep and they follow him. Where? Out. Jesus leads us out, not in. Jesus leads us on a grand adventure to find pasture. The adventure leads to abundant life. But we cannot see it as something separate or apart from life with Jesus. Our abundant life is nothing other than life with Jesus. An adventure that leads us to risk standing apart from others, being thought odd and perhaps inherently damaged. To step out with Jesus leads us to open ourselves to a vulnerability and forego the notion of protection in the fold. Our most important protector will be the shepherd who goes before us and calls us by name. After all, Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us. That is his promise and his vision of the abundant life for us. So David Lowes, the preaching professor at Luther Seminary, recently wrote, "Abundant life is not something to earn or achieve, buy or barter for. Rather, it is a gift, the sheer gift of a God who loves us enough to lay his life down for us. There are so many thieves and bandits in this world who would rob us of life, who would cheat us of abundance. And so Jesus comes as the gatekeeper and good shepherd, the one who knows his sheep intimately and truly, who calls us by name so that we, hearing the difficult truth about ourselves, may believe and receive the wonderful truth about God's great and victorious love for us. We look for fulfillment and meaning and purpose in all the wrong places, and Jesus comes as the shepherd who seeks us out, calling us on a grand adventure with him. So that being said, Elizabeth, Katie, Annalyn, Faith, you four have just finished a 2-year journey toward this day of your confirmation. And hopefully you have seen this as part of your adventure, as a deepening of your relationship with Christ, with his body, the church. This day is neither the end nor the beginning. Christ has chosen and called you by name in the waters of baptism. It is there that your great adventure was begun. It's there that we return when our adventures seemingly go wrong and we listen to other voices. But Christ never abandons us when we stray. He continues to seek us out. He continues to come to us. Our adventure never ends because he does not give up on us. He seeks to bring us to the abundant life that works to get us to witness that we should fear, love, and trust God above all things. And following this first commandment can get us in trouble with those around as we follow Jesus. But Jesus gives us life, and life abundant at that. And this grand adventure that he calls us to will never make us late for dinner. Thanks be to God. Amen.